Jesse Prout was a 15-year-old freshman at St. Paul's private school in Concord, New Hampshire, when a senior classmate took her to a secluded room on campus and sexually assaulted her. It was part of a grim ritual on campus at St. Paul's called the Senior Salute, where older students try to achieve sexual conquests with freshmen. Jesse's attacker was then 18-year-old Owen LaBrie. LaBrie was convicted of misdemeanor sexual assault charges in August of 2015 and a felony computer charge, but acquitted of felony rape charges. He was sentenced to 1 year in prison and forced to register as a sex offender in New Hampshire. Jesse Prout is now 19 years old, and she's made it her mission to tell her story.
So I wanted to add some humanity and light to the word victim and survivor. And I wanted to help tell my story of empowerment and how I seek justice to help inspire other young people to let them know that they can do the same.
Jesse's written a new account of the experience with Jen Abelson, investigative reporter with the Boston Globe Spotlight team. The book is called I Have the Right To, and Prout and Abelson joined us to talk about their hope for this story. I asked Jesse Prout first to take us back and describe the aftermath of the attack.
Well, one of the things that bothered me the most about the crime itself was that I didn't know it was a crime at the time. I thought I was being too sensitive. I blamed myself for not kicking or screaming. But it's common for survivors to freeze in the moment. There's flight, fight, or freeze. And I froze. And so after hearing other stories from other students, I started to realize that this was not my fault. And that this really wasn't okay. And the fact that my sister was able to tell me that this was not my fault really solidified that for me and helped me be able to report the crime committed against me.
You also got a text message from a friend, a mutual friend of you and your assailant at school after the attack, sort of acknowledging that something bad had happened, but trying to talk you down from taking it seriously as a crime, or at least that's what it seemed like.
Yes. I mean, I believe people find it really difficult to believe that a boy was capable of doing this, committing a crime like this. They choose to believe that a girl was overreacting over a boy capable of committing a crime like this because it's easier.
Jen, you've spent a lot of time studying boarding schools, and I don't know that we want to confine this to just boarding schools, but how common is a case like Jesse's, as well as the stigma and the reaction that she got when word of this assault spread at school?
I think that the Senior Salute was a particular tradition to St. Paul's, but it exists, I think, in different formats in a variety of different schools, whether it's scoring girls, maps, rating girls by numbers. It's sort of all this, you know, this attempt to sexually conquest girls. And I think for Jesse, it was at St. Paul's, the tradition involved seniors pursuing or older students pursuing younger students. What was so horrifying for Jesse, and I think she was talking about in the trial, learning that they had targeted her for months. And this was part of a larger scheme against her. And I think you find it in private schools was where I had had my focus at. And you found this very insular world where kids were allowed to sort of live incredibly independently, and adults weren't really watching over these students as much as they should have been. But the issues Jesse talks about in terms of consent and healthy relationships, many schools are not addressing those with young kids, with kids who need to be learning about that in high school, in middle school, whether or not touching is appropriate. And I think that that was sort of the larger message we wanted to bring to this book and in trying to talk about this.
Jesse, when you arrived at St. Paul's, was there instruction or guidance in terms of appropriate relationships between students?
No, there wasn't. It was more along the lines of inappropriate things may happen. Boys may try to do this to you. They may try to touch you at dances. Just ignore it. Don't take part in it. And that's not possible because we don't want to take part in it most of the time, and it's done on us forcibly. And it's not happening at these schools, and I believe it's so important for them to start talking about, for everyone to start talking about the importance of consent and respecting other people's bodies.
How did adults around campus react, Jesse? You write in this book extensively about how other students reacted, some supportive, many with ridicule, stigma, singling you out on social media and in other ways. What about the adults around campus? How did they react?
Well, the instruction from the school was don't talk about it, don't address the victim. And they did that with the, you know, fake idea of supporting me, giving me privacy by not talking about it and not addressing the problem at the school. So I only interacted with a few teachers who I was close with, who were family friends of mine and who knew my parents and my sister. But other than that, the silence from the adults was deafening.
Jen, is that common at the private schools that you've studied where adults go into self-protection mode? At least that's what it sounds like in Chessie's case, that under the guise of supporting her, there was a lot of self-protection for the school going on.
I believe that's a very common response and has been for decades at these schools. We found that adults would turn a blind eye, in fact, in some cases, cover up for predators. A lot of what I looked at was adult to student, but similarly student to student. They tried to make the problem go away quietly, sometimes pushing bad teachers or students out the door quietly to other private schools where they could go on to commit similar crimes.
And Jen, let's talk about accountability. The boy, the assailant, was named Owen, got 1 year on a misdemeanor sexual misconduct charge. Do I have that right? Was not put on trial for felony assault. What did accountability look like in this case?
I think the jury came back and convicted him on 5 of the 9 charges. One was a felony computer charge, and that has required him to register for life as a sex offender. There are the other, as you mentioned, felony rape charges he wasn't convicted of. But I do think it's important to say that during the sentencing, the judge addressed the courtroom and said that he did not find that Chessie had consented to the encounter. And I think in a lot of these cases, you see sort of juries end up coming and splitting the verdict. These are complicated cases, but I think from Chessie's point of view and my point of view, it was actually quite simple. She said no.
And Chessie, the legal issues might be complex, or whether one lawyer got over on another lawyer. In the end, in terms of accountability for Owen, how did you feel about the verdict and the punishment that he faced?
Either way, I thought the ending is sad because he did this to me, and that can never be taken away. That can never be taken away or amended or fixed by a verdict, by anything. And he's being punished for it. Some days I wish that this had never happened to me, but now I'm starting to see that I can accept that this happened to me. I know that it's not going away, but I can use the anger and pain that I've felt from this to empower myself and other survivors to seek justice and to change the status quo of shaming and blaming survivors to lifting them up and supporting them.
That's Chessie Prout, a former student at St. Paul's School in New Hampshire, a survivor of sexual assault, and author of I Have a Right To, along with Jen Abelson, who's an investigative reporter on the Spotlight team at the Boston Globe. Chessie, Jen, thank you both so much for being here and for sharing your story, Chessie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.